Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode
389.
Oh, yeah. October 3rd in the year of our Lord, baby Jesus, 217. 2017.
This is a couple days before LA Podfest. So, as you can imagine, a lot of things, a lot of moving parts.
This week is never stressful.
No,
there's
not
never
at all.
A lot of emails and phone calls this week.
No, not.
And so, when a guest cancels, it makes it even better.
Yes. Everything goes smoothly.
Oh, my God.
So we are, you know, we are excited about LA Podfest. As you can imagine, we hope we're going to see you guys there. Mm-hmm. We have our show at 2 o'clock on Sunday, with a favorite return guest, Joey McIntyre.
Joey McIntyre.
And a new guest.
Laurie Kilmartin. She's never been on the show. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to get. She writes for Conan. So we've tried to have her on the show a million times, but she's always like, I'm writing during the day.
Right.
So I can't come do this. So the Jackie and Laurie show, they're in the festival, so it's her first time in the festival, and she's on our show, which we're very excited for, and it's great having Joey back. This will be his third appearance, I think, and I know a lot of the female...
Always a crowd pleaser.
Always a crowd pleaser. A lot of the female fans even reached out to me, and one of them showed me their reaction on Instagram of them hearing the news, and they're... which is fantastic.
We don't have that weird small elevator to ride with him anymore, though.
No.
Oh, did you get to do that?
Yeah.
Nice.
I had Joey and Will Anderson together.
Wow.
I was like, if this thing breaks down, at least we'll be entertained.
Those are two great haircuts.
Yes.
You were on an elevator with two fantastic heads of hair.
And if you were on a deserted island, those are probably the two people you would pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laughing and singing.
Right.
Yeah. But not to eat.
No.
No, you can't eat them. They're going to eat you, Aaron.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. They're both cannibals. I don't know. Joey McIntyre, we just announced he's a cannibal. We're excited. That's the new kid.
Well, now, that was spoiler alert.
Ah.
We were saving that for the festival.
We are going to eat someone at the show. It's going to be Little Lords of the Fly.
That's why there's no pay-per-view this year.
We don't want to get encumbered with any legal hangups. But no, we are going to have a Hunger Games style. We're going to put a bunch of weapons in the room and you guys see who can make it out of the festival alive.
So, well, we kind of do that in the lab every year. So we have a great podcast lab. We have podcast pros with all the panels and workshops. But also we have a CFN screening room this year.
Yeah.
We are showing Killing Gunther, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. It's really funny. It's a fun movie. And the director will be there. That'll be Friday at 11 p.m.
Yeah. And I think we had an open spot, so I think we're going to even slide an earbud screening in there.
Mm,
so how
maybe.
About that? Maybe, yeah. Maybe a little earbuds. Political Vigilante will be doing its first ever live show. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, you know, hear me yell at the two-party system, it'll be fantastic.
That's always a treat.
It's always a treat to hear my political rantings live and in person.
Yes, and they're never quiet.
No, and I'm going to lock the door. You can't get out. So that's how we're going to do the Political Vigilante. The stand-up show Saturday.
You know
night.
What's weird is when you do Political Vigilante, you never get worked up over it.
No, there's nothing to get worked up over. Everything's smooth
and calm. Yeah,
calm.
You really,
it's really good.
You really bring it down a notch.
Yeah, there's nothing to get passionate about. The world is functioning fairly well, and I just like to talk about how great it is.
I don't know why you're complaining.
Yeah, the system's great. if you're a one percenter, the system is working.
For you
on a daily basis.
Yes. So why change it?
Nothing to change, guys. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Nothing to see here.
So that's what Political Vigilante is going to be like. Everything works. I love the election system. I love the tax codes.
Yeah.
I'm excited for all of it.
So,
The stand-up show.
Yes.
Do
tell, Graham.
Karen Kilgariff is confirmed on the show.
Excellent.
Todd Glass, Jimmy Dore, myself emceeing, Erin Foley. I just got her confirmed on the show from Sports Without Balls. I was at the Sparks game with her Tuesday night. The Sparks did not win to clinch their second title. There is a game 5 on Wednesday. I'm sure all of you are watching that. But the Cubs clinched the division, so there is a lot of hope out there, right, Aaron?
Yeah. What a bastard way to do it you guys did. Not only to do it in St. Louis on our home field and then knock us out of the playoffs by robbing a home run in extra innings.
Yeah.
I mean, just real. Ugh.
I know the Cubs just, after they clinched, they didn't phone in the next couple of games. They just kept winning.
Yeah, that was, we kept losing. It's all relative.
But this is the last time the Cubs made the postseason 3 years in a row. So they've made it 2015, 2016, and this year. The last time they did this, 1906, 1907, 1908.
So they're due.
The last three-peat, kids. So I'm excited for sports.
So they're just, great. Sports are great.
Sports are fun competition. As I was saying the sentence, I realized, oh, this isn't a sports show. What's going on?
No, it's still, you're expressing your joy for the genre.
Yeah, sports is a genre, Chris. Absolutely. It's a fantastic genre. Aaron, what's your favorite sports genre?
Baseball. I mean, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who are you rooting for in the postseason?
I've thrown my hat in with the Diamondbacks.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I want to see Paul Goldschmidt win something.
There's awesome. A lot of great teams.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing playoffs.
I'm afraid the Cubs, I don't know if they can get past the Washington Nationals, quite honestly.
I think they can. They have a better bullpen, I think.
Starting rotation for the Nationals, though, is pretty...
If they're healthy.
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Ready?
All right, Chris is sick of this conversation.
It's like when Jack and I talk about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, could not care.
Oh, I can get in on that. Let's do it.
So let's talk about American May. This is the Tom Cruise movie, and a lot of trivia around this movie, too.
Some of it pretty brutal.
Yes. The one piece of trivia that I really enjoyed reading was Ron Howard was considered direct, but lost to Doug Liman.
I obviously do not share your disdain for Ron Howard. I like him as a director, but I like Doug Liman a lot, and I like what he did.
I think Doug Liman was the better choice.
He was the better choice for this film. Mm-hmm. And I think
and he worked well with Tom Cruise on on Edge of Tomorrow.
So and you saw that. You saw how that came across. That they worked quite well together. And
there was a shorthand.
Yeah, I liked Edge of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's allowing Tom Cruise to be Tom Cruisey without over cruising it.
Going on cruise control.
Going on cruise control, which is code name for Scientology.
Yeah.
That was I liked that. Too much handheld camera though. I was in the back row, and I started to get sick.
Wow, still?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I didn't think it was that bad. It was some, but...
Unless the pretzel I had was weird. I don't know, something really upset
or
me.
Or there was an hour and a half earthquake while you were watching the film.
Could have been that.
But it's also the second movie to released in September 2017 with the word American in it.
Yep.
The first was American Assassin.
So I've seen both of the American movies.
North American movies. And,
as you should. God bless
now,
us.
We will,
yeah, right.
Unfortunately, amen. There was a tragedy on this filming, too. Two of the stunt pilots did pass away. They crashed, unfortunately. Alan D. Perwin and his Venezuelan co-pilot, Carlos Burrell, were killed when their small twin-engine Aerostar plane crashed during foggy conditions in the Andes near Medellin, Colombia.
If you watch Narcos, you know how to pronounce that. It's Medellin.
We were very sorry to hear that. It's always tragic when somebody dies.
Because movies should be fun.
It shouldn't be taking lives.
It shouldn't be taking lives. And that being said, too, it's also like some of the aerial footage that they got and the stunts and stuff were pretty amazing. Because a lot of the movie is spent
on airplanes.
On airplanes.
Mm-hmm. With Tom Cruise actually inside them.
Yeah. So, you know.
He's like, can I do a stunt on an airplane? I'm like, no, you're just the pilot in this one.
Yeah.
You know, no more. It's not Mission Impossible 8 or whatever is the next one. So
Tom Cruise is a pilot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he is. But
now let's talk about the movie. Now, I have to say, this was the kind of movie I was watching it. It really felt like an old school Hollywood blockbustery type movie. It really had all those beats. Mm-hmm. It just felt like that old school style of movie making. Now, Doug Liman is clearly capable of it, but Doug Liman is also capable of doing other things as well,
right,
and putting his own stamp and his own edge on it. I felt like this movie was a little too Hollywooded up. Like, I felt like it was so strict on hitting like the specific like blockbuster beats. I was like, well, you know, show me, do something a little different than, you know, than what I'm expecting. Obviously, it's based on a true story, but the way the structure of the film was so classic of like, all right, he's in over his head. It's, you know, he's getting into all this stuff, and clearly were leading up to when things crash down around him. So there weren't that many surprises in this movie. So I was kind of hoping for there to be a little bit more like kind of twists and turns a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was just so strict to kind of like the Hollywood structure where we weren't going to get that. Like I felt like also, I know it was kind of like an action comedy kind of movie, but I thought some of it was like a little too light, like all the drug dealers were fun and you know,
the fun-loving Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, yeah. Like they were like, oh, these guys are cool. Yeah, they're fun. You know, there's
the Medellin drug cartel, a bunch of wacky free spirits.
They don't look dangerous at all.
No, they didn't do and awful then, things to come to power.
Yeah, yeah. And like things like when you saw the Contras and the Sandinistas, and you know, you saw how like it almost bordered on satire, like when they started seeing like how disorganized the Contras and stuff were when they spoiler alert, they take Tom Cruise's shoes,
right?
Yeah, so
and his glasses,
right? So some of it was like it went like, okay, well, are we making a satire, are we making an action? Like sometimes the tone went a little bit up and down, but not much. It was still pretty fairly even. But you know, all that being said, it was a decent movie. Like I can't really fault it for going one way or the other with it. I really felt like this was one of those movies that it was right down the middle.
Right.
It didn't do anything horribly wrong.
No.
And it didn't do anything horribly right.
It was I've never heard that expression. You didn't do anything horribly right.
Yeah. It was a very safe movie.
It was a very safe movie. It was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm currently in the third season of Narcos.
Right.
So
some shared characters and shared actors.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was that show.
Can you pronounce his name? Mauricio Mejia?
Which name are you talking about?
Who plays Pablo Escobar, appears in two seasons of the television series Narcos.
Mauricio Mejia, yeah. Mejia. Yeah, he. It's weird because it's the same era. I mean, it's all that stuff. So you don't want to compare it, but it's almost impossible
right.
not to.
It's happened at the same time.
It's exact. And again, yeah. The whole first two seasons of Narcos are all about Pablo Escobar.
Right.
And so
is he as fun-loving as he is
in
this movie?
No, he's not as fun-loving in Narcos.
No, really?
It's weird. He's not a lot of wacky hijinks.
Really?
I think
a little more grounded performance of Pablo Escobar.
Just a hair. One of the things that Narcos does that I like is they intercut the actual news footage of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show you the actual drug cartel guy
right.
on the news or getting arrested or whatever. So they don't have a problem going, here's what the real guy looks like.
Right.
And these are actors. You know, sometimes they shy away from that stuff. Put them right next to each other and compare them, I think, is a little unfair to each one of them.
Right.
That one aspect that you did bring up, I was like, they're making these drug cartel guys way too just like the fun-loving guys.
Right.
And
I want to work for them too.
Yeah, they seem good.
What
seem
could
wacky.
Go wrong?
And when Barry Seal is like telling them, you know, no, this is how it's going to be, I was a little like,
is that?
I find it these guys that had soccer players killed. I really find it hard to believe that they would take this from American
a
dude.
Gringo pilot.
A gringo pilot. I really find that hard to believe. That being said,
maybe the conversation went a little differently in real life.
Yeah, I feel like it did. I feel like it did. That being said, it was it was an entertaining movie.
Right.
It was an entertaining movie about that era and showing. I guess part of it is if you were to retell that era, I can see why it would be kind of silly or funny because you'd hear the stories and go, are you, what?
Right.
You guys did what? Yeah, they did. They
right.
did that shit that was that crazy.
When they showed like the CIA office and like, you know, it was almost like pitch meetings. Like, I got an idea.
Right.
You know, we're going to do this. And then, but you realize too that this actually happened. Yeah.
The Iran-Contra thing, those trials happened.
Right.
Oliver North is a real guy. Like,
right.
I mean, like, all that shit went
still
down.
Still working,
of
yes.
course. so it shows you.
And it shows you also and this is where it gets into, like, the structure of, like, well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, it's like, it's a rise and fall of
right.
anything. Like, But what I did find interesting, and I actually would have liked to have seen more of this, of the mechanics of how the CIA operates with pilots, like as far as like, you know, I guess you could call Tom Cruise a contractor,
right?
and the handlers, like that relationship, I found really interesting, and I would have liked to maybe seen a little more of that, especially like when they get burned. Uh-huh. Like, you know, because there was a show on USA, Burn Notice, that, you know, was kind right. of dedicated to that. Like, you know, when you're dealing with the CIA or any of these covert things, like, you know, you're off the books or whatever. Anything can happen. It's not like you have job security or, you know, any type of security, really. So it was interesting. And like I said, I would like to have seen more of that, like the kind of inner workings of how does that work? How does the handler work with the contractor? You know, how does that relationship progress, and ultimately how does that end? And
do you think if they went too far with that, it'd be too close to Mission Impossible?
Then they're just pulling off face masks
yeah.
at the end.
Yeah.
So, but I think for me, I found that the most interesting of, like, you know, with minus the wacky drug cartels, I found the interactions with the CIA and how Barry Seal was basically being manipulated, even though he was being paid so much money that he ran out of places to hide it.
Right.
So I found it really, that part I found really interesting. What was it, Domhnall Gleeson played the...
Yeah, Domhnall Gleeson played the Schaefer played the CIA guy.
Did I get that his name
yeah.
right?
Yeah, okay. Domhnall Gleeson. Yeah. And so...
By the way, doing a fine American accent.
Fine American. Yeah. I didn't notice it. I was like, usually you hear that American
yeah,
R.
Yeah, you hear it forced. He did a good job.
He did a real good mm-hmm. job. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Wright plays his wife, and...
Wouldn't it be interesting to see a movie with Tom Cruise and have his wife be the same age as him? It's like there's still this 50% gap. 50.
Well, yeah, I don't know. He's a good-looking pilot with bags of money.
Yeah, he is. Doesn't matter. And he's pretty much ageless on screen.
He's ageless.
I mean, he's 75.
He's 75 years old.
That's amazing.
That I, you know, I guess I was sort
Maybe
of...
Maybe he really is the mummy.
It's funny to me because I guess I would like to see a more gritty portrayal of how this actually went down, and
right.
what, and more of an, because there wasn't enough of a, there wasn't enough condemnation of the American government for creating this shit. You know what I mean? It's sort of just like
and the
oh.
crazy things that were happening,
and like
yeah.
it's sort of like, well, Barry, you got yourself into this mess. Yeah, but who hired him again?
Right, right.
You know,
you approached him,
and you knew there was cocaine down there.
And also, when the guns started ending up instead of to the Contras to Colombia,
right?
Like there was like, well, wouldn't that raise a red flag at some point, or you know, whatever? And like, this wasn't even part of the deal. So there was a couple things where I would like to have seen maybe expanded on a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess you had to, if you're gonna. Because I think, like, referencing, like, let's say Blow, right? It came out a while, like maybe 10 years ago or more. I can't remember. Blow
2000.
Came, yeah, 2000. It came out a while ago. Okay, so Blow had kind
wow,
of...
17 years ago.
Yeah. had kind of a sense of humor to it, a little bit about the craziness of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also had just a hair more serious. Like, a little more, like, I guess part of the thing was the stakes. You know, there's so many scenes in here where there's like, it's so like jokey almost that the stakes were, it sort of watered down the severity
right.
of the stakes. Like, they're going to kill your family.
Like, yeah. Like,
and he kind of sees that. And again, like you say, I wasn't, it didn't make me mad. It didn't take
right.
me out of the movie. I was still enjoying it. I wasn't looking at my watch throughout the film.
Right.
But I, stepping aside from it, I go, I don't know, it's a pretty intense thing that this guy, actual guy, is dealing with.
You'd think you'd be feeling a little more fear.
A little bit.
But you also, you know, I think that was intentional, where it shows Tom Cruise's character, Barry Seal, of almost like the ignorance of like,
Like
he doesn't even realize how much danger he's actually in.
That's a good point, because mm-hmm. that's not a bad choice for the filmmaker, for Doug Liman and everyone else to
right.
make, of like, wow, this Barry Seal guy really was just like, yeah, all right, I'll take your job, brother.
It really felt like, and I think this was a conscious choice, like show him as thinking he's in control the entire time and then show outside that he's not in control at all.
Yeah, and you show... No matter how much money they throw at him. And early on, he's like a TWA pilot, and you see him just like, oh, it's too boring, it's too mundane.
Right.
And you're like, oh, he wants the crazy
shit. He wants something, yeah, something a little more.
Something a little more, which is the code for he wants some crazy shit.
Well, that's, like, right. That's what they say about pilots, is they're kind of nuts. Like, they're very much, when you take a psychology test, they score about the same as serial killers.
Really?
Wow, that's good to know when you fly. That's why there's two of them.
Well, that may, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
That
too.
Did make me laugh though when they were the TWA pilots, and the one who goes, "Wake me up when we're over Texas."
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. So, you know.
So I think this movie was trying to walk a tightrope between comedy, satire, and serious, grounded, you know, action.
Right.
And I think Doug Liman, I think he pulled it off, but I think sacrifices had to be made. And then one of those things sometimes are tone.
Gary Spinelli was the writer, and he's only really done Stash House and this. And
I think it was a Hollywood Blacklist script, too.
Yeah.
2014. So, you know, I'll tell you, it was... I think you and I kind of came down in the same way about it. It was like, you know, it was good, but it wasn't like, you know, it didn't set any theaters on fire or it wasn't like, it wasn't terrible. It was just, it felt like, you know, a big budget Tom Cruise-y type movie.
Yeah, I feel like if you just want like 2 hours of like escapist whatever,
right.
I would go to the theater for that.
Yeah, and if you're serious about what happened and you really want to learn more, read some books about it.
Yeah, you know.
You're not going to get a ton of information from the film.
No.
This was more about, you know, Tom Cruise and his character than it was about the actual events.
Yeah.
It really felt like that was what the focus of the film was on. So yeah. I mean, I agree. It was a fun, decent, you know, 2 hours or whatever, however long it was. I think it was even, was it longer than 2 hours?
No, it was about right at the 2 hour mark.
And but if you're looking for a more serious,
it's an hour and 53 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually,
if you're looking for a more serious portrayal of the subject, you could watch Narcos, or you could read books about this. I'm sure. And
do you think the filmmakers take that into account? Like, there already is this serious.
For sure. I think this is one of the reasons why it got made.
Yeah,
is because this. Well, no, we're showing this with a different tone. And, you know, this movie was never going to get made unless Tom Cruise signed on to it. I'm sure he was the impetus to get it made.
And I think that's why you get Doug Liman in there, too.
Right, exactly. It's a good choice.
I think it was very clear that they went, this isn't Narcos. We're not making that.
Now, and if you had to pick which Tom Cruise movie to see that was released this year between this and The Mummy, pick this one.
Pick American Made.
Yeah, there's definitely a quality gap between the two Tom Cruise movies. And I think this also has to do with, this didn't feel like Tom Cruise's fingerprints were all over it. It felt like...
That's what makes it good. That's the difference between this and The Mummy.
Right.
The Mummy feels like Cruise came in and, you know...
And just cruised all over
cruised
it.
Cruised all over it.
but the same thing happened with Edge of Tomorrow. It didn't feel like, you know, Tom Cruise came in and just changed everything. It felt like, you know, he and Doug Liman actually worked together to make a decent movie.
You know, and after watching this and knowing, you know, we all like Edge of Tomorrow, I'd love to see these guys make another movie again.
Yes.
I'm all
absolutely.
For it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. And, you know, I'll say this. I'll give Tom Cruise credit. I didn't have a problem with his accent. It's a southern accent. I wasn't like, there's Tom Cruise doing a southern accent. I was like, I buy this. I'll give him credit.
You know why? Because it wasn't over the top.
No.
And I'll give Doug Liman credit for that too, because you don't know what the first take looked like.
You don't know what at the lunch break at the
right.
table read.
Yeah.
Hey Tom, come here for a second. I got some thoughts.
So I think that definitely helped for sure.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a good time at the movies.
Good time at the movies.
Just, you know, don't raise your expectations.
You're not. there's no Oscar nominations coming out of this.
There are not.
Aaron, do you want to see this?
I do. I've mentioned before how much I enjoyed the documentary Cocaine Cowboys, and there's the one pilot character in that, who's a real guy. I don't want to call him a character, but yeah, if it's anything like that and in tone, maybe that's what they were shooting for in tone. Because again, that movie is kind of, they're talking about really dark shit, but it's kind of light and, you know, it well-paced and snappy. So yeah.
It's also like, I think about the pilot character in Blow. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I'll do it. And then they're just like, I need to know the names of your children and everything, like, in case you run away with our cocaine and our money, we're going to kill everybody. And there's just that scene in the hotel room that's so matter-of-fact in Blow where the pilot's like, okay.
I understand.
This is who I'm working for.
Yeah. This is the terms of our agreement.
It feels like it's not negotiable.
Yeah. And no one's writing anything down. There's no contract.
No, no. We're going to just, it's going to be a handshake.
Yeah. In blood.
It is. That's a big deal.
Now, one thing I wanted to mention, we did have a couple of fans reached out to me on Twitter and said, because when we were talking about Death Note, they said to go check out the original anime. So I did, actually.
Let's talk about the original anime.
You know what? It's nuts. But since it's anime, it's so weird. It actually, even though it's crazier than the movie, it makes more sense because of the world that it kind of is created. I'm almost done. There's like 37 episodes. There's a ton of episodes for Death Note. But what I love about it is that it sets up this entire world of, like, as, you know, the killer Kira, as things progress, you know, the whole world, it's like, well, if you don't bow down to him, you're going to end up on his book and die. So you have these interesting elements of, like, whole governments recognizing Kira as justice in the world.
Right.
So, but, and you also have the supernatural element where there's, each notebook is attached to one of these death gods, which are called Shinigamis. And you have multiple notebooks and multiple death gods in the world at the same time. And they sometimes interact with each other. And then they have this crazy thing where you can make a deal with one of the death gods and get his eyes. So what that means is if you make a deal with the death god, you forfeit half your remaining life. But then you get these death god eyes where you could look at someone and above them is their name and the rest of their life that they have left. So that means, you know, the whole thing of the Death Note is that you write down the name and you picture the person. But what if the person, you don't know the person's name? With these eyes, you don't have to. You can just, you can kill pretty much anybody that you look at.
Wow.
So there's all these real interesting things. And every episode reveals another rule for the Death Note. So in the middle of each episode, it just comes up on the screen, you know, Death Note rule. So it expands everything. So, and it just made me think.
You mean they didn't just throw out these rules willy-nilly and not pay attention to them? And
it just made me think again, like Ghost in the Shell is like these properties, as popular as they are in anime and manga, they're not meant to be made into live-action films. They're just not. So if you are interested in the whole premise, I mean, it's got obviously some weird Japanese crazy cultural stuff in it that doesn't always translate. But for the most part, it's definitely worth your time. It's a little more interesting, and it expands everything a little bit more. And I'm looking forward to the finale. I only have like two episodes left. So, but it's on a certain streaming service that you could get. So so check it out.
Yeah, and also, and anyone out there that's seen this as well, I'd love to know what you think of the Death Note, because we did a Death Note spoiler ep, obviously.
Yes.
And so watch it on the streaming service and compare it. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Right, definitely.
Because so, that's the thing. I remember when we did the spoiler ep, we kept talking about, like, I bet you the anime is a lot better.
Yes.
I bet you it doesn't.
For sure.
Because they tried to grab too much. I think that's the problem. When you take a full series and you try to boil it down to 90 minutes to 2 hours.
It just didn't work.
If you don't do that correctly, then it does go all over the place.
It takes time to develop, especially with the characters of, like, you know, the one character who is ultimately the killer, the high school kid who finds the book. But as the series progresses, he gets older. You know, years and years pass, and, you know, governments, they first try to stop him, and then they, you know, then they start recognizing him as justice in the world. And And then, you know, the death gods are amused by all the human behavior, which is always fun to watch too, because it kind of shines that reflection on humanity, which is what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That the stuff that didn't, you know, translate into the film. Because you also have these interesting explorations of like, well, crime went down, you know, well, then is what he doing, is what he's doing right? Is it, so you, you raise these moral questions, which are interesting too. So, and there's great scenes with anybody who touches the book can see the death gods. So even if you don't own the book, but if you touch it, you can see the death god and wow. interact with them. So, so there's a lot of interesting things, in the anime for sure. All right. So let's talk about, we have an ad.
We do.
We do. We have our Patreon ad. And by the way, thanks so much, Patronies. We really appreciate you guys. You, you're keeping us afloat. We really appreciate your support. And Frightfully Uninformed, we are a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out a horror movie fandom, frightfullyuninformed.com. They've been with us for, what, a couple months now?
Yeah.
For the CFN ad tier.
This is his fourth month, so we really thank frightfullyuninformed.com for being with us. And so all your cards just got charged. This happens the first of the month, and then we usually get the money on the fifth, so we'll be putting the new names and the credits on the YouTube channel, which is one of the things you get on many of the levels, and you get bonus stuff, and it's been really cool that you guys have been supporting us. It's been...
Yeah, we want to give you guys bonus content, and you're able to, you know, you're able to make that happen with your patronage.
Yes.
So, and if you're on the fence, you know, $1 or $2 still helps, for sure.
Any little bit helps.
Yeah. You know, you could do the $5 tiers where you start getting bonus content. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what, a cup of coffee for per month? That's it.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, there's cool things happening with Comedy Film Nerds. Since Earbuds has been out on iTunes, that was cool. We cracked the top 20 there for a little bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. After I was on WTF, which was cool. I'm going to be, and Chris and I are, we've got other big shows we're going to guest on and stuff like that. So, it's really awesome. And now Earbuds is on Amazon and everywhere else. And
yep, it's on Google Play, Amazon. I'm also getting reports from the East Coast that it's on some of the cable services now. It's on Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and Spectrum. They're still working on that. There's some technical things there. But most likely, check your cable company. It's probably there now as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for all the many ways that you support us. It's really cool. And
we really appreciate it. Thank you.
And we'll be... we'll be at PodFest, too. We're, obviously, we'll be at PodFest. Yeah, we got in this year.
Oh, thank God.
I was touch and go. I don't know if Dave wanted us back. But we're unloading some merch, so there's going to be discounted merch.
There will be discounted merch. Yeah, we have some shirts left from, you know, even from mailing out all the Kickstarter awards. There's still a few left. And I will say this, odd sizes.
But... we'll sell some shirts either, too, for half price, like $10 shirts.
Either too small or too large. But, you know, if you're getting them for half price, they don't have to fit exactly correctly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody buy one for your dog.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's massive or tiny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Aaron's thinking. Maybe make one into a neckerchief.
Yes, you
so
should.
You can rob a stagecoach.
Yes.
Buy a 5X shirt. Put it on your fridge.
A cowboy dog.
Yes.
So buy one for your cowboy dog and, you know, come to PodFest. And we'll also, you know what we will have, though? We will have Earbuds DVDs that you can't get right now.
Yeah, that we're technically not supposed to be.
No, we can sell them after shows. Sure. We can't put them online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's the only place you can get an Earbuds DVD,
folks. Yeah, because we can't sell them online. Yeah,
out of the back of a van?
Yeah, pretty much out of the back of a van.
I know a guy. He's got a thing. He put an envelope across the table. He drops a DVD, walks away.
Some great extras on the DVD. Yeah. How can you go wrong?
How can you go wrong, Chris?
No, by not coming to LA PodFest.
That's how you can go wrong. Or not being a Patreon.
Yeah. Okay, so there are multiple ways you can go
so let's list all the ways you, can, you can't be cool. You could not watch this. You could not subscribe. You could give a shitty review.
You know what? That's too many.
Yeah, you could share it on social media and go, these guys blow. There's a lot of great things you could do.
So we want your positivity, folks.
Yeah, man.
So hopefully we'll see you this weekend. Well, let's talk about some trailers.
Boom.
Oh, you know what? We forgot to introduce our guest. He's been sitting there quietly the entire time. Yeah.
What a polite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Brungardt.
We've kind of heard of his voice.
Yeah,
you know Aaron's voice.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, what do you like to do?
Yeah. So I got to say this trailer. Let's talk about it.
Oh, no. You want to talk about Aaron?
All right. Sure.
Let's talk to Aaron.
Let's talk to me.
So I saw that you posted, I think, either on Nighttime Foam Corner or PodFest Attendees.
I'm not in either of those, but okay.
You posted somewhere, maybe it was the PodFest page on Facebook.
Maybe just generally on Facebook.
About the festival maybe being the last year.
I don't think I have, to be honest, but.
You posted something like that. Or you talked, anyway, you were talking about the festival. Mm.
Yeah, I've definitely posted about.
Sounds like an interrogation.
No, I know, I'm really coming at this the wrong way. He's getting defensive for no reason. It's my fault. I really. So, Aaron, I need to ask you a couple of fucking questions, pal.
Where were you?
Oh, so anyone can just log into your computer? No. Sorry, I'm a little stressed. I'm on edge. Mm-hmm. So everything I say sounds like an accusation. Huh? You have the time? What, are you hiding your fucking watch from me, you liar? My question is, like, just as a guy that, you know, started out just as a podcast fan, you now work in podcasting, you started with us and everything, year six of the festival. I'm just curious to know, like, what you think, because you sort of have a fan's point of view. I mean, now you work, this is your job is in podcasting, but like...
Yeah.
What do you think going into the festival? I mean, we were being very upfront in the email we sent out to everybody. Like, we lost some money last year, but this year we have a great lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
every year it always is. It's always a great time. Like we've said in the past, like, it's comedy summer camp. You know, it's like, especially if you stay in the hotel. I fully recommend that to anyone who's ever thinking about coming. It's you stay in the hotel. You walk around, you run into people all the time. You run into Todd Glass in the hall.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen.
Well, he's letting the dogs out.
Not with Todd Glass.
Yeah. Well, if he's walking, he's letting dogs out. I'll tell you exactly what Todd Glass is doing and what he will try to do. And if Ron Biltmore, the head of the hotel, has anything to say about it, he's going to prevent Todd from doing that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just sick
of
Todd.
It's not a dog hotel.
No, it's not a dog hotel. Yeah. And Todd Glass wants to go fucking let dogs out like some kind of savage and just disregard the laws of decent society, as he has done repeatedly.
He'll have to do it at the Sofitel.
He'll have to do it at the Sofitel.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch him this year. Every year he denies it. Anyway, I'm sorry. So if you run into Todd Glass, he's probably letting the dogs out. Aaron, you were saying.
Yeah. It's the best fan interactive thing, and it's you know, obviously Comic Con is huge and it's a great thing, but it's not like you get overwhelmed with the crap that's the sheer amount of people and the
right
amount of things to see and do, versus this is very streamlined and I think this year particularly there's not as many Sophie's Choices to make is what I call them,
there's
you know, two shows you love opposite each other in different rooms, which is great. And you know, you guys do everything you can in that planning and programming stage to keep that from happening.
We do.
And a couple years ago, you added lunch breaks in, which was nice. Because it would be like Comic-Con where you're stuck in a room for hours because you're just loving everything that's in, say, the big room or the medium room or whatever. And then you just have no time to eat, or you have to like... decide, well, do I like Comedy Film Nerds that much, or am I just starving?
Do I need a sandwich or film talk?
Yeah.
Which will sustain me more?
Well, the thing I'm hoping, too, with this the downtown this year is within a block or two of the Biltmore, like, you can run around, and there's, like, a Chipotle, a Jimmy John's. Like, there's a million, like, go get something quick to eat if you're in that situation where, like, I got to eat between shows, which I like.
Or a quick Uber drive from some really nice places, you know, if you have that time, or if you really want to experience the downtown atmosphere,
the downtown area.
I think I'm going to take the light rail there Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm taking the train all weekend.
Yeah,
the Pershing Square is right across the street. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. I'll be carrying the CFN merch. I will be driving as a delivery.
What are you most looking forward to at the festival?
You know, just seeing all my friends who, you know, I only see online.
Who live all over the place.
Yeah, who just live all over the place. You know, like Rob from Philly and Jen is in San Francisco and Laura's in Portland. Like, you know, just people I don't get to see as much as I would like.
Now, do you stop by the lab? You stop by the lab at all?
Since I don't have a podcast, no. Yeah. and no one's asked me to be a guest.
That except may change.
Wow. But, yeah, I mean, did you hear that guilt trip?
Yeah.
Listeners?
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Aaron. It's first year on a panel.
Yeah.
He's on the network panel.
You're a podcast professional, man. You are here in the eye of the storm. You are. Oh,
he almost said yes. No, but I got him on the panel.
I just worry that I don't have enough information for people. That's or maybe
oh,
I'm
you
not
do.
Allowed to say everything.
No. You know.
I think that's my favorite thing.
No filters, no censors.
And when I when I go on the Podfest page or Podfest attendees or Foam Corner and I see everybody chattering about it, it makes me I'm excited. I mean, all the logistical stress and everything obviously is a part of it, but it's that stuff. It's like
I'd like to have less of that though.
Sure. This year was the less because of people we hired to do stuff, which I personally really appreciate.
It definitely helped for sure.
The other stuff I've gone through the last couple months, if I had then the stress of this thing on top of it bearing down on me, I couldn't have handled it.
Right.
I couldn't have handled it.
Your cup would have runneth over.
I would have lost my shit. Someone else would have been doing it anyway. when I see that and the response from people, I go, well, this is the community we built. This is the whole reason we did it. This is the whole idea of let's get all of these individuals together under one roof.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's something, you know.
Well, like last year's, the theme on the T-shirt was the voices in your head are real. Along like almost exactly that same level is the faces you see online are real too.
Right.
All these people are real people and you can hang out and have laughs with them in between shows, going to dinner.
I think that's my favorite. I mean, I think about...
It's my favorite part of it too, the community.
Yeah, the community. I think about the first year of the festival, walking into the Sofitel on that Friday morning, and I walked into the lobby of the Sofitel and a bunch of people went, Graham! And I was like, I don't know
really
who
cool.
any of you are.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, you're all fans. And you're like,
right.
And everyone was like, oh, I jumped in the Kickstarter and this is so cool. And I remember introducing the
Sklar. It puts a face to names for us.
Yes. Because I would see these people, go on the road and do stand-up or whatever, and you'd see like a guy sitting alone at a comedy club, and you're like, well, there's a podcast fan. There you go.
I was that guy.
Yeah, I know, you were that guy. Like, there's the guy that drove 3 hours to watch Doug and I do
they
Bane
may
voices.
May or may not make eye contact.
So then when they were all there, it's cool, and then, you know, things people have said to me along the way, I think it was our second year at the Sofitel, so that would have been year four. There's a group of people at the opening night reception thing. And I want to say this, guys. I know every night the opening night thing is at the bar. It's a cash bar. We're not, it's just that's a money thing. And I just want people to know that that's like, I wish we could do the party where we gave you free drinks and food. Like, I wish to God we could.
Just so you guys know, it will be a cash bar. There's just no drink tickets.
Yeah.
So you guys, we kind of have the parties on the schedule where we're all just kind of get together at the bar. That's pretty much what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's my point here. Is it's like, I wish we could give you guys free drinks and hors d'oeuvres and shit like we've done in the past. But we all wanted to just at least everybody meet in this bar, in this place.
And we wanted to actually have a festival again.
Yeah, we did want to have a festival again. Because I remember somebody said to me a couple years ago, they're all sitting at a table at the opening night thing and they're all hanging out and they were like, hey, and I was talking to everyone. They said, year one, we all came as individuals and now we're friends. Like, I love that all of you are like flying in from wherever and you're all like buddies and you've become good friends, not just online and in person. So that to me is really, it's a cool thing. So I don't know. I feel like it might not be your life. I feel like we're going to keep doing it.
It's going in that direction.
It's going in that direction,
sure.
But there's some legitimate.
It's feeling pretty good right now. It's definitely we're in. I mean, honestly, full disclosure, this is our recovery year. We need to recover this year, and before we can build again.
You
so,
never know. Anything could. There's
right.
a lot of options. We could take a and year you, off. We could.
And you guys are buying tickets, which is great.
We've sold more than last year,
so that's really really important. You guys supporting the festival, and. And that's actually, that's the main determination. If you guys show up, we're able to do it again.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to get your input on that.
Yeah. That goes for you too, sponsors. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys need to show up too.
We just need one really
yeah,
big,
one really big,
big
one.
Sponsor. But then...
So, Frightfully Uninformed, if you want your name above the title, that's
add a couple zeros to your monthly donation. Like five.
Yeah, and we'll be all set. You guys, it'll be the Frightfully Uninformed Podcast Festival.
I'll name it whatever the hell you want if your check clears. If your six-figure check clears, you can call it whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, you can call it Fuck You, Graham.
Yeah, Graham, shut your yap hole fest. I won't talk for 3 days straight. All right.
So let's talk about some trailers.
And let's have fun this weekend.
Yes, I think we will.
We're going to have a blast this
weekend. Yeah, it'll be really good. I'm looking forward to the stand-up show, too. I think you got a lot of good people.
I'm pumped, man. Mm-hmm. I'm super pumped.
So, all right. Trailers. Acts of Vengeance. Oh, Antonio Banderas. I'll tell you, I'm watching this trailer, and I just can't get Puss in Boots from Shrek out of my head. Whenever Antonio Banderas talks now.
Or the Nasonex B.
Yeah, or the Nasonex B, that's right. So, I mean, he's literally become a cartoon character. So it's a little more difficult to take him seriously in a straight action movie anymore. But that's what this is. Like what were you saying, Aaron?
Yeah,
like,
was your joke on this?
It's like Hollywood is Oprah, and they're just like, you get a take, and you get a take, and you get a take.
Yeah.
Everyone gets, there's literally two or three Takens that are coming out around the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's this one.
The Foreigner with Jackie Chan. We had Kidnap with Halle Berry.
I think I'm most excited about The Foreigner with Jackie Chan.
Right.
That looks really interesting to me. And it also looks like what the Expendables did so successfully, but just, you know, not as campy, is what do you do with an aging action star? And you put him in a movie like this. Mm-hmm. This is what looks really interesting to me about The Foreigner. Acts of Vengeance, not so much. I mean, it looks like it almost looks like more of a John Wick, the way the action is shot. Like, just really frenetic, quick, you know, guns, punching, kicking. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, could Acts of Vengeance be like a crazy, fun action movie? Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think with the growth
of... I am Puss in Boots. I can't get past that.
With the growth of MMA and the popularity of the UFC, I think we're just seeing more and more of these movies where it's like 40-plus-year-old actor... is now this brawling fisticuffs guy. Like,
and Keith Urban is a cage fighter. Yeah. His cage fighter, like, buddy. I don't know what the relationship is.
That was very vague in the trailer. It's like, all right, well, now he's fighting in a ring, but and he's also the confidant of Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing in this trailer was that as penance, after his family gets killed, he decides he's not going to talk. Like in Acts of Vengeance, he's taking a vow of silence until he finds his family's killers.
A lot of voiceover, guys.
So, yeah.
Must have been something he said.
Yeah.
It's like the people that brought you
Taken.
No, it wasn't always.
Or no, the people who watched Taken.
Yeah. But the actual producers were like the Expendables.
Right, right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it could go either way for sure, but it most likely it'll go in the wrong direction.
I want to make one of these where the person just breaks out into singing and dancing.
That would be
like
great.
That's what I want. I want Antonio.
Revenge musical.
Sort of Bollywood ending or something like that. I want to put a Bollywood ending on everything.
Mm-hmm. Acts of Theater.
Yeah. So,
put something
all right.
on. The next movie, Annihilation. You know what I liked about this trailer? It didn't really tell me much. It was like one of those trailers that really had a mystery to it. And it's good to see Natalie Portman working again. I mean, I think she's a decent actress.
Yeah.
But you don't really see her in a ton of stuff. I mean, she had Jackie, but you know, she doesn't show up in a lot of things. So this really felt like shades of Arrival. When I was watching this trailer, like a mysterious science fiction. There's like an entity. There's a CG barrier that they walk through, and you're not really sure what's going on. But I liked that about the trailer. I mean, because you don't get that anymore. You don't get a mystery in a trailer anymore.
That's what I love too. I'm like, what is going?
What's going on?
What's happening? They walk through that like rainbow,
right? Slime jello thing,
foam or whatever that is, and that's where this. And then you hear the voice over the guy going, are they carbon-based? And you're just like, oh, man.
Can you describe it?
that, and that's, I felt the same way, like, oh, this is what I really liked about Arrival.
Right.
Was how they did interacting with an alien in a very unique way that we right. haven't seen. And so mm-hmm. that I really liked. It's directed by Alex Garland.
And who did Ex Machina.
Yes. He wrote and directed Ex Machina. He also wrote 28 Days Later, which I really like.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And he wrote The Dread that came out in 2012.
That was good, yeah.
So Ex Machina was one of my favorite films that came out in 2014.
Yeah,
so
I'm definitely intrigued by this trailer.
I'm really intrigued. I like everybody. I like it's based on a book. And they're saying a February release date. Now, I'm wondering if they're going to go limited before the end of the year to try to get some Oscar talk, and it's going to go wide in February.
Oh, that could be. Well, we'll find out in November, December-ish.
Right. Or, I mean, let's hope it's not a bad film and that they're dumping
they're
it in
dumping
February.
It, yeah.
Or the studios are kind of waking up a little bit. With Black Panther being released in February.
Right.
Are the studios finally going, why are we letting these yeah. 8 weeks sit there and dead?
Right, exactly.
Like, why are we not cleaning up on this?
These are literally empty months. Why aren't we releasing more movies?
Half the country's in the snow. They want to go to get outside.
Now, the downside to that is I think some of these movies that were meant for August moved. So then now all of a sudden August became dead this year.
Right.
But there's so many movies. I mean, just organize your schedule a little better.
I have a hard time believing that Annihilation is a piece of shit that they're dumping in February, just based on everyone involved and what we just talked about. So I'm really pumped.
Acts of Vengeance, maybe.
Yeah, Acts of Vengeance. Come on, we know exactly what Acts of Vengeance is. They said Antonio Banderas taken. They're like, okay, which weekend in February? That's how that conversation.
Yeah, they're all open.
They're all open. Whatever you want. You want to release on a Tuesday? We'll give it to you.
How quick can we get that on a plane?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Can we just live stream it on YouTube? Can we do that?
Yeah. Do we even have to shoot it? So I'm intrigued by this movie for sure. Annihilation. Now, on DVD and Blu-ray, Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales. God, this movie was difficult to get through. They're so long, and they're so boring, and they're so CG, you know, heavy. If you're a fan of this franchise, I'm sorry. I will say the first movie was fun. I actually enjoyed the first movie, and that's when we were introduced to Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Every movie after that has made less and less sense and has been less and less enjoyable. This one is no different. However, at least now we're seeing audiences are actually finally getting tired of these movies because this one really dropped off box office wise. So I'm hoping it's the last one, but we'll see. You know, I'm sure overseas it may have passed a threshold. We're like, well, let's do one more. We don't have a script. Doesn't matter.
Right.
We're going to make another one anyway.
Or it's like Spider-Man over at Sony where they're like, we have to make another one or we're going to lose Johnny Depp's contract or something.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that could be it.
Could be.
That could absolutely be it.
The next movie is A Ghost Story. This is was an independent film, and I think it has Casey Affleck in it, I believe. And
yeah, Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara.
I don't know much about this movie other than it's very artistic and it split audiences really. Have people either loved it or hated it. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what it is, it's a movie from the ghost's perspective of a family and what they go through. So
yeah, it's basically a recently deceased white-sheeted ghost returns to his suburban home to try to reconnect with his bereft wife.
Right.
So it's Ghost Dad, or
yeah,
it's Ghost Dad. It's a Ghost Dad reboot.
Yep, with a sheet.
Is it from literally from his POV? Like,
apparently it's from the ghost POV. It's directed by David Lowery, who also wrote it.
But he's in a sheet.
But
there was no effects budget.
Yeah, looks like he's a big editor and he's a director.
Is it a comedy? I mean, I don't think it's a comedy.
He
directed Ain't Them Bodies Saints. He directed Saint Nick and a bunch of shorts. So
that also had the word saint in them.
Yeah, and Casey Affleck.
St. Casey Affleck.
Weird.
So, and the next movie is Churchill. I forgot this movie came out.
Yeah, this is the Brian Cox Churchill. It wasn't.
It literally came and went.
Yeah, it had a $10 million budget.
It's too soon.
It's too soon. There's another Churchill movie coming out with Gary Oldman, I believe, as Churchill,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is called the Winter Lion or something like
which
that.
Which seemed to get the marketing budget from both films.
Yeah. So I guess every couple years they got to make a Churchill film.
Yep.
So maybe there's a...
And only one gets marketed.
Yep. All right.
So if you... Now, I, like I said, I heard nothing about this movie, so... I'm not sure.
I'm sure it's good in the sense that, you know, Brian Cox is a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he'll do a good job.
I do. The Churchill story is, to me, is fascinating. I went to the...
Well, I like the fact that this movie shows, like, that he was kind of, there was a lot of fear in what, like, he was going to do. And,
how could it not be?
Yeah.
You know, like, that was the cool, I read this great biography, I believe written by Ian Carr, that I bought, actually, in the Churchill Museum, which is underneath 10 Downing Street, because that's where Churchill and his cabinet... were in a bunker during World War II when the Nazis were bombing them every day.
I'm curious, what's in the museum? Is it like memorabilia and stuff?
Well, they do some stuff, like they show the cabinet room.
Uh-huh.
They'll show the cot. He would take a 30-minute nap every day,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. Just, mm-hmm. I need this nap. And then it gave you history of the, you know, it showed you the timeline of Britain with the Germany and
right.
and how close they were to being, having to surrender and how... He was the guy coming on the radio every day going, we're not surrendering. We're not giving up, you know, carry on or whatever it said. Mm-hmm. So
never surrender.
Yeah. So, you know, Churchill is a fascinating historical character.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've seen a bunch of different documentaries and movies by him. So I don't know. It's. Brian Cox or Gary Oldman playing him? I guess. So, you know, let us know what you think.
Yeah. And then the next movie is Cult of Chucky. I cannot believe they're still making these movies, but they are. For those of you that were going, you know, it's time. When are we going to get another Chucky movie?
You got it. Your wishes.
Congratulations.
Have come true. Congratulations. It's
yeah.
all on you.
Enjoy this direct-to-DVD release. The next one is Goon, Last of the Enforcers. This was a sequel to Goon. What's his name?
Sean William Scott.
Sean William Scott, yes.
Goon is a fun...
It's great.
Fun.
Super funny.
Super funny, low-budget comedy about minor league hockey players and how you've got to fight. You know,
right.
just enforcers, basically. I like it because it's... Walker Ewell, who... I've known for a long time. You're friends with. He's worked on the festival.
Mm-hmm.
He was a minor league hockey player.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he would tell me these stories.
He's a big guy.
He's a big dude, and he was an enforcer. And he would tell me these stories. He's like, oh, Graham, you get to these small towns in Canada, and there's a tire mill and four rinks, and that's all that's happening.
Wow.
And so this movie is showing you. It's like sort of being a minor league. Hockey or baseball player, it's like when you're a road comic and you're driving from gig to gig doing bowling alleys.
Bars.
Yeah, and small towns. He goes, so it really shows you that. So, and it's funny, and Lev Schreiber is like the big, you know, number one goon in the league, mm-hmm. and they're all just fighters, and it's there's hilarious stuff in there, and there's some heartwarming stuff. So when I heard about this, I was like, well, I love the first one. Can you make a sequel to a low-budget indie comedy about minor league hockey players?
Apparently the answer is yes.
I want this to be good. I want it to be funny, but I'm...
Well, as we've talked, to see it.
Yeah. it's we've talked about this a lot on the show. Comedies are hard to... The sequels to comedies are so hard to make funny again. They're so hard. So I don't know, but I want this to do well. So I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out.
Very cool. Okay, and then like we've been talking about throughout the entire show, is we want to just make sure you guys know about LA Podfest. But also on the site, Neil's Weekly Film News is also up, and we've been getting some great feedback, like I said, on Twitter and also on Facebook and on the YouTube channel.
YouTube channel's been
great. We really appreciate you guys with your comments, and we're always interested in what you guys have to say. The other thing I want to mention, too, is you guys are always polite and well-mannered, and we really appreciate that. We love that you guys... are such great fans.
I really get so...
And I love hearing Point of Order before a comment.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Anna on Comedy Film Nerd's YouTube channel said, "Hola, Comedy Film, first class video, a thumb up for you. Now I subscribe to you. Goodbye, Anna."
Gracias.
Thank you. So, you know, come to the YouTube channel, subscribe, like, and subscribe the videos. We're trying to pump the numbers up on the YouTube. We're putting content up on that all the time. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So check it out.
Check it out. Mm-hmm. And coming up this
premiering
week.
Premiering this week, Blade Runner 2049. Now, I don't know if we're going to be seeing it this weekend exactly.
I think we're going to see it Monday. We're going to do a spoiler up Monday night.
Okay.
We could even, I don't know, do we have a fan meetup? Like, we'll maybe text out the movie theater on Monday afternoon, and if you guys want to come watch it with us?
Yeah, maybe we could do that.
Yeah, anyone who's in town?
Right, if you guys haven't left yet from the festival,
yeah.
We could do, like, maybe a daytime meetup for Blade Runner.
Yeah, Monday, like, 4 or 5 in the afternoon, something like that.
So,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and then we'll record at night, right?
Yeah,
we'll do a spoiler, because... it's going to take some time. It's a rather lengthy film.
Yeah.
To 2.5 hours, something.
And I feel like we have to watch it and then immediately talk about it.
Right.
We're going to, like, because I got to go on the road on the Tuesday the 10th, and we were trying to figure that out. And then it was like, we can't wait a week.
Right.
We got to talk about this now.
Immediately.
Immediately. So we'll walk out of the theater and we'll go to your garage. Not everybody, because we don't have room, unless you want to stay and sleep on T-shirts.
Yes. Can make little shirt chairs out of craft these T-shirts.
Like a beanbag chair, like your basement to watch a ball game.
The next movie, My Little Pony, the movie.
That is the best counter-programming I've ever seen in my entire life.
Ever. So something for everyone in the movie theater this weekend. And the next one is The Mountain Between Us. This is the Idris Elba, Kate Winslet movie.
Oh, yeah. Survival, so, like Alaskan survival movie or something like that.
Yep, you know, they're plane crashes. They have to survive. But again, this is, it just drives me crazy about the trailers. You've seen at least the first half of the film in this trailer. Like, all right, they get on the plane. They crash. Here's what they're going through already. I'm like, well, don't need to show me all this.
Just show me get on the plane and then turbulence.
Someone falls through the ice. It's like, well, I'm at least 45 minutes to an hour into this film.
And two great actors.
Yeah.
That I would love to see in this scenario. But when you tell me the whole thing in the trailer, I'm like, well, God, what's the
matter? Yeah, I mean, might as well just show me which one gets eaten at the end. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Who's got a frostbitten toe?
Yeah. As a snack.
All right. So we're all going to go see Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. On Monday at some point.
If anyone goes to see My Little Pony instead of Blade Runner 2049.
That means you have children.
Yeah. Or there's something going on.
You're a brony.
You're a brony.
You're a brony, and you'll dress up to go see it. I can guarantee there's people dressing up to see My Little Pony, the movie.
Well, I'm going to dress up as Deckard for Blade Runner 2049. All right.
All you need is a trench coat that's wet.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear a wet trench coat. Talking to Mama. That's our program, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Episode 389. Lock it down.
It is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. And like we said, we hope to see you this weekend at LA Podfest.
Always a great time to see you at PodFest. I'm also October 10th. I'm in San Francisco at the Punchline Comedy Club. I'm in St. Louis October 11th at Helium.
Go Cards.
I'm gonna wear a Cubs jersey on stage.
That's fine.
See how quickly I'm shot.
Yeah.
and then I will be at the Zanies in St. Charles, Illinois, the 12th through the 14th of October. So next week, those are all my road dates. You can get all links to all those tickets at grahamelwood.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm emceeing this Native American stand-up comedy showcase October 29th at Flappers. It's called Custard's Last Stand-Up.
Nice.
We'll start announcing the lineup pretty soon. So That's a bigger project I'm going to be working on. Tell you guys more about it. So LAPodFest.com. We put day passes just went on sale.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you can only come for one of the days, come buy your day pass.
And you get the preview night for free at the Hollywood Improv on Thursday. Weekend pass.
Yeah. So there's four shows. There's 2 8 o'clock and 2 10 o'clock shows.
Right.
One in the lab, one in the regular showroom. So check that out. And
you can also buy your badge there too. Like if you're a last minute badge buyer, you could actually get it at preview night.
Yeah.
Too.
You could show up to the Improv and avoid the lines at the
festival.
And then we'll see you guys this weekend, and thank you so much for all the ways that you support the show.
Yep. And I do want to mention too, the new episode of Conversations from the Abyss has dropped. Ooh. It's called Sisters, and it stars my lovely daughter.
This one is creepy.
Yeah.
This one is really creepy. Yeah, yeah. It's off-putting. It's an off-putting episode.
It is, for sure. And, you know, there is a guest cameo that you will recognize at the end.
Bear in mind, Chris wrote all of this.
Yes.
Yep. All of this came out of... I've known this guy a while, and some of this was a little like, really, buddy? What's going on? Do we need to have a sit-down? Like, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Yeah. This guy doesn't. And that's usually the serial killers and the quiet ones.
I put them on the page.
He puts them on the page. So, at least they're getting out somewhere. Because yes. If you were thinking these things and not expressing them, I'd be like, oh, he's going to murder me one of these days.
Wasn't that what Mick Garris said about how nice Clive Barker is? Yes. He's like, well, because he gets it all out on the page.
He said all horror filmmakers are really nice in the world. Yeah. You get it all out. Yeah. You get it all out on the screen.
So check that out. Thank you.
Guys, you're fantastic. Thank you to Aaron and Brenton and everybody here at the All Things Comedy World Global Headquarters. Mm-hmm. Go Sparks.
Yes.
My name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.